Hey y'all, it's Crystal.
And it's Samantha, and this is Serialholic Sisters.
True crime shit. Hey girl, hi. We remembered how to do
It's been a
that.
minute.
A minute.
So for our listeners, we put out a unfortunate announcement. I lost my mother-in-law to cancer. She fought really hard for 6 months, and we unfortunately lost her. We're happy she's not in pain anymore, but we took a short break because my husband really needed me, and now we are back. Not that he doesn't need me anymore, but
It's like now he's like, all right, you can go away now. No,
no, he's just we're just trying to find our normal again, and
right.
we're getting there slowly and surely, but I think part of that normal comes with being able to come back to our true crime community. So we're back. We're back.
Say we're back one more time.
We're back. Just
Okay.
reassuring myself.
Right, yeah. This is really happening. So, do you think we should just go ahead and get into it? It's kind of a long one.
It is a long one.
We've kept everybody waiting for a little while, so we should probably not do a
Yes.
lot of banner.
There
Banner?
is
Banter.
banner. Banter. I was gonna say our listeners have actually been waiting for this case for a while. Crystal called this like within, I don't know, 2 months of us starting Serialholic
Yeah, it's been a
Sisters.
while.
It's been what, 2 years? So we're finally doing this case. Crystal obviously is because she called it, but I'm excited to hear everything. So
Bibs. Yeah, it's a really, really huge case.
it's probably the biggest true crime.
It's I would say most definitely the most well-known unsolved true crime
For
case of all
sure.
time,
And
I
yes,
think.
she's doing unsolved.
Yeah, I'm not usually the unsolved one, but I mean, this is a big one. We've had
Yes.
people email in and recommend this one, and it's just so big that I thought, I wanted to make sure I had time to really, get
And
into it and not rush through it. And
with our small little break, she had
right,
plenty of
I
time.
had some time. I will say, I don't know how some people feel about this, but this is actually going to be a two-parter. It's just too much to put in one episode. It'd be
Yes.
like a 5-hour episode, and we don't have time to sit here and record for 5 hours. Also, even though I had all the time, I'm not finished with my notes for the second part yet. So,
Also agreed, we don't have 5 hours, just putting
no, I
that
got
out
shit
there.
to do later today. So, no.
I got homework, girl.
So, yeah, this week I am covering the unsolved murder of JonBenet Ramsey, part one.
Part
Part
uno.
one. So in this episode, we're really going to get into like the disappearance and the murder of JonBenet, like really get into the details. And then in part two, I think is when we'll get into like the many, many suspects and the theories regarding
Yeah.
this murder. So I will say beforehand that I'm going to try really hard to present all sides and points of view on the case and not just like force, I'm going to try to not force my thoughts on everyone.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best too, but I can't promise you.
Right. So yeah, I mean everybody should be able
I'm
to
kidding, I'm kidding.
hear the points of the case and like make their own opinions and form their own thoughts and all that stuff. I've read a lot of articles and I've heard this covered on a few different podcasts and like news stories
Yes.
and stuff, and I feel like you usually hear when you hear it, it's either written or reported in a way that basically points the finger towards a specific person, no matter who that person is, like different people.
Right. You've got the parents, the brother, the others
Right,
that have will be presented later too. But yes, I agree. I feel like it is always just directed to one rather
right,
than. So
exactly.
that's good. That's
Yeah,
refreshing.
so I'm gonna try really hard to do that. And again, nobody, it's unsolved, so nobody really knows what happened besides the person or people that did this and JonBenet herself.
Right.
And I figured since it's a two-parter, I'll go ahead and do the second part with our next episode so we don't make everybody wait and do a case in between.
That's good. That's a
So
good. That's a good idea.
that's my thoughts on that. So
No rush on
let's,
those notes.
yeah, right.
I'm just kidding.
It's a big case, bruh.
It
All
really
right.
is.
So let's go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
Okay. So JonBenet, nope, can't even, I can't speak words. Here we go. JonBenet Patricia Ramsey was born in Atlanta, Georgia on August 6, 1990. to John Bennett Ramsey and Patricia Patsy Ramsey. I've always thought it's kind of cute how they got both of their names in her name.
I know, I know.
She was the youngest of two children born to the couple, having a brother named Burke, who is 3 years older than her. John Ramsey was a very important businessman, and he was president of a big computer software company named Access Graphics. He had three older children from a previous marriage, a son and two daughters. This marriage ended in divorce back in 1978, and one of his daughters, named Elizabeth, actually tragically died in a car accident in 1992. So that's really sad. John married his second wife, 23-year-old Patricia Paugh, I'm guessing is how her maiden name was pronounced, because it's literally spelled like Wah with a P, aka Patsy. They got married on November 11th, 1980. Little background on Patsy: growing up, her and her family were super into beauty pageants. In 1977, Patsy actually won the Miss West Virginia beauty title, and her sister Pamela would go on to win the same title. And Patsy would later enter young JonBenet into beauty pageants, and this would later become a pretty controversial part of her life story after her murder. As y'all probably know, there's so many rumors and theories surrounding this case, and these beauty pageants were like a main focus for everyone for a long time. People, when they'd hear about this case and see like all the articles and pictures, they'd be like, how could the Ramseys enter their super young daughter in these pageants and like put makeup on her and dress her in these like mature
But
costumes?
that was a huge thing back then.
It was a huge thing, especially just depending on the area you were in. I kind of understand that point of view because there's a few things that kind of grossed me out about pageants. Like JonBenet's hair was bleached. She was six.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I was gonna say, my daughter was just in one, but
Yes, she was. You're a pageant mom.
It wasn't like that. So our little town has like a homecoming pageant, homecoming queen, homecoming princess. Well, they do like the little misses too to involve them as well. And my daughter gets really excited and wants to do it. And they can only do it certain age, like class groups or whatever. So we've entered her the last 2 years. She has 1 year left that she can do it. And I legit say it every year, I am not built to be a pageant mom because she wants her makeup done, she wants all that, and I'm always like, no, you don't need makeup, like you're so pretty without makeup, because she's only 7. So I 100% agree. It's not like the big giant beauty pageants that you
No.
see. Like, what is that? Is it Pageant Moms? Is that what it's
I
called?
think so, yeah.
With all the little girls? Yeah. So no, I totally agree. It's very controversial, but I don't think you should dye your child's hair like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know moms that dye their children's hair at a young age, and I'm not like at all saying that you should. If you want to do it, that's fine. But I mean, like bleaching it and making it all poopy, and then literally painting their face on, and
It's
I'm
just
just
so
like, it's not.
bad for their hair at such a young age. Like, it's like, let it be
Yes.
natural and healthy, you know?
Yes. My daughter has been bugging me to be able to like dye her hair, and I'm like, no, because I dye mine. I'm like, no, I dye mine because I have to now because I dyed mine so young. I'm like, no, you don't need that.
Yeah, and her hair is so blonde. Like, you don't want to fuck that up.
No.
So yeah, her hair was bleached. She wore a flipper. Do you know what that is? So it's basically like fake teeth made for kids that are in pageants. They're like missing their baby teeth.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I don't understand that. Like, kids are supposed to lose baby teeth at that age. It's like freaking cute, right?
I
They're
mean, I
supposed
think
to be missing
it's
like a little front tooth or something like that. But no, they wear like little flipper, little fake teeth, so you don't know. So yeah, because of all of this pageant stuff, eventually Patsy would start to get a reputation as like this crazy pageant mom who would stop at nothing to make sure that her daughter won, especially since JonBenet was actually winning like a ton of pageants. So she had won America's Royal Miss, Little Miss Charlevoix. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but Little Miss Colorado, National Tiny Miss Beauty, Colorado
Yeah,
State
they like
All-Star
tra
Kids cover girl.
I was gonna say, I forgot. They like traveled to
Like
a
it was
ton
a
of
big
these.
thing. Little Miss Sunburst and Little Miss Merry Christmas. Like she had a bunch of titles. She was just a natural at it. But according to an interview that John Ramsey did with The Sun, he said this was not the case at all. He said that he and Patsy had actually joked a lot about trying to find a way for JonBenet to lose so that she could understand that you don't always win at life.
Oh. I mean,
So,
that's kind of good though, if you think about
right.
it.
So she had this crazy pageant mom, my daughter's got to win. Like, that's what everybody was thinking. But according to John, which who knows, you know, he
But
said no.
you got to think about it this way. Like, something that I can't get through to some of like my kid, like especially my oldest, because he still doesn't understand it, but everything you read on like the internet or news articles and stuff is one point of view. It's a
Exactly.
rumor.
Yeah.
It's not factual all the time.
Right.
I know this is going to be a really ridiculous example, but like the whole Joe Jonas fiasco that's going on right now, him and his wife are getting divorced, and
Sophie Turner?
suppose yes, they're getting
I had
divorced.
no
And
idea.
oh, see, that's all that's on the news anymore.
Oh, I don't watch the news.
Well, not the news, but I mean like
Right.
news articles or whatever that
Yeah.
pop up. They're getting divorced, and she's in England and he's in the States, and he's had the girls because she was working. But there was an article that came out saying he's had the girls because she wants to go party, and she's fighting for custody for them to be returned to England, and she's saying that he's kidnapped the girl. Like, it's all
Oh my
rumors,
God.
is what it is.
Right.
Like, it's one news place putting this out because they want people to read it, and it's media based, and that's how everyone, I mean,
Right.
we literally live now. It wasn't like this back then as big, but it is now. We live in a media based society that we
Right.
depend on that dramatic news, and the more dramatic, the more believable it is for people when it's not factual. So,
Right. I mean, it wasn't as big like as far as like social media, but
right.
it was still huge. I in the media, I remember seeing like every magazine cover at the grocery
Oh,
store
yeah.
was about this. You know, every time you turn on the TV, it was on the news. Like, but it was the same type of thing where it's just that person's point of view and that's how they're presenting the story. So you don't really
Yes.
know, like you were saying.
Yes.
So when JonBenet was only 3 years old, Patsy was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. And after 9 months of chemo and two surgeries, the cancer ended up going into remission. So after her diagnosis, John said that Patsy did everything she could to make sure to make lasting memories with both JonBenet and Burke. He said she encouraged her children to try anything and everything that they might enjoy, and she always supported them 110% in everything they did. So he said that pageantry was just one of the hobbies that JonBenet took a shine to. And he actually said that he now regrets that they allowed her to do them for a couple of reasons. One of those reasons was how much the media sensationalized and focused on the pageant aspect of her story.
And such a yes, at
Yeah,
such a young age.
and instead of focusing on like finding her murderer, they were just focused on
Right.
this.
Right.
He says again, this was just one of her many hobbies. No way defined her as a person. She was also learning to play piano and violin. She was taking dance lessons. He said she absolutely loved to sing, and she was signed up to take rock climbing lessons that were supposed to start in January, like the month after she was murdered. He said that the little girl that he knew was a total tomboy. She loved playing outside, climbing hills, and then like sliding down them on a piece of cardboard with her
And
brother and his friends.
nobody would know that because of the way that she's
Right,
presented.
right.
Yes.
She was just, he said she was just a typical little 6-year-old. She loved sparkles and fruit roll-ups, which like same girl. Fruit
Same
roll-ups, I mean not the sparkles, but you know, you do
girl.
you.
Same. No, I'm just kidding.
She's been described by others that knew her as a loving, spunky, very kind child, like super sweet and thoughtful. A lot of people know this part of the case. When she saw Santa, there was this guy that would play Santa Claus at like all these Christmas parties they would go to. And she like came to know him, you know, as Santa. Like,
Right.
but she When she saw him at one Christmas party that her family attended, she gave him a gift as a thank you for all the presents that he's gotten her throughout the years.
Oh,
So he gave her, like, she gave him just like this little vial of glitter that was like, because she's sick, she doesn't have like
right.
gifts. But yeah, she gave him that, and he thought it was so kind and sweet. And some people find this weird. We'll talk about this more in the suspects because he ends up being one of the theories.
Right. I didn't know that yet.
But he held on, like he kept that glitter vial and even ended up taking it into a surgery with him that he had to have done.
I don't find that weird.
Right. I think he just thought, oh, that's so sweet. And, he loved his job as Santa,
I was gonna say,
supposedly. And
I personally, I don't find that weird.
right.
Now, if he had like a shrine,
Right. Exactly.
that
Exactly.
would be weird, okay?
Yeah. So according to John, Patsy was just trying to make as many mother-daughter memories as she could with JonBenet while she still had the time. So I'm not sure if she was the crazy pageant mom the media made her out to be, or if she was just trying to make these memories with her daughter.
I gotta say, like, that's part of my impartial way of looking at things. Where people were just so mean and hateful and like attacking her in
Right.
this case, that part always made me so sad because I'm like, even if she was this crazy pageant mom, I mean, she was dying.
Yeah.
Like, you have to look at it at that point of view too. Because regardless if she was like forcing her to do pageants or not,
She's trying to make memories with her daughter that her daughter would remember, when
yeah.
she's gone.
So, anyways.
So yeah, my next part was pretty much just talking about what we just said. I literally wrote, it's awful that this became such a main focus for everyone when the main focus should have been finding this child's murderer. Also, I feel like it's a pretty good rule of thumb for your own sanity to take what the media says with a grain of salt. So do what you will with that. Like, I was literally writing what we were talking
I mean,
about.
it's true though. Like,
Yeah.
it's so funny because this was something that got brought up in one of my ethics classes or whatever, the whole media-based thing. And that's when something like resonates with you like that,
Right.
it really does though, because I mean, it can be in any type of situation. We live in just such a media-based society that
That's true.
rumors spread faster. And that's the easiest way to put it out there. I mean, maybe not as much then because it wasn't social media based like you stated, but now it's just worse. Like that's why there's so much hate and so much controversy that goes on
Because it's
because
just so easy to hide behind a keyboard and just type whatever you want to and think, well, I'm not saying this to this person's face,
right. And I guess the way that I view it too is we're so quick to judge and so quick to put out all these like awful things and everything and everyone's spreading all this hate and this nobody's allowed to think for themselves anymore.
Yes.
And that's the biggest way that I view it. Like, you can't, how do you think for yourself when everybody's thinking for you?
Right. And if you have your own opinion, then everybody just kind of jumps on it like, oh no. So, another reason that John says that he now regrets letting her do the beauty pageants is because he had no idea at the time that it wasn't just like family and friends coming to watch the pageants and support the girls. There were also really bad people with really bad
Oh, yeah.
intentions coming to watch these girls.
Creepy people.
Yeah. And he's like, I just didn't realize that at the time.
Because you don't think about that.
Right. So when John's company really began to take off, he moved his family to Boulder, Colorado. And here they built a huge house in an elite suburb. The house was so huge that it's been described by like their old housekeeper as like a maze or a labyrinth. And they said it was like really easy to get turned around in there. That's how big it was. They settled into this,
Ain't
what?
nobody need that big of a house.
Oh, They settled into this new lifestyle with ease and quickly made friends in the area. So the Ramseys became pretty well known for the extravagant parties they would throw. And the last party they would throw was just 3 days before JonBenet's murder. And there was like 100 people there. Like it was a huge party. And it was a huge party for a reason because they were celebrating Patsy's cancer going into remission and John getting, he had just gotten a huge promotion at work. So they just like were celebrating. Everything seemed to be going great for the Ramseys. They had no idea that in just a few short days, tragedy would strike and their lives would be changed forever. So let's get into the morning of December 26th, 1996. The Ramseys had just had an eventful Christmas day the day before that ended with Christmas dinner party at their close friend's house, Fleet and Priscilla White. They stayed over pretty late. Well, late for me because I'm an 80-year-old.
I
They got home at like 9:30, so it's like
was like,
super late.
what was it,
9:30, okay. By the time they got home, JonBenet was already fast asleep, completely worn out from the excitement of Christmas Day. So John did what any parent would do and just carried her inside from the car up to bed, like trying not to wake her. She had went to bed wearing white long john leggings, a white long sleeve t-shirt that had a silver sequin star on the front of it because sparkles. The next morning, Patsy got up bright and early, around 5:30 a.m. ish. The family had been planning on spending the rest of their holiday at their vacation home on Lake Michigan, and so they wanted to get an early start. So Patsy gets up, brushes her teeth, heads downstairs to make some coffee. She stopped when she noticed something odd on the staircase, like at the bottom of the stairs. It was a 2.5 page long note. So she picked it up and she began to read. Patsy later said that she remembered reading the line, "We have your daughter," and feeling an overwhelming anxiety take over. She said she then ran back upstairs as fast as she could to JonBenet's room, and terror took over when she pushed open the door and realized her daughter was not in her bedroom, which I cannot imagine. Patsy screamed out to John, and she ran for the phone to call 911. It was 5:52 a.m. when she made the call. So I'm just going to read the 911 call real quick. It's not super long. So it starts off with Patsy yelling out police, and the dispatcher's like, "What's going on?" "Patsy, I'm at 755 15th Street." "Dispatcher, what's going on there, ma'am?" "Patsy, we have a kidnapping. Hurry, please." "Dispatcher, explain to me what's going on, okay?" "Patsy, there's a note left and our daughter's gone." "Dispatcher, a note was left and your daughter is gone?" "Patsy, yes." "Dispatcher, how old is your daughter?" "Patsy, she's 6 years old. She's blonde, she's 6 years old." "Dispatcher, how long ago was this?" "Patsy, I don't know. I just found the note and my daughter's gone." "Dispatcher, does it say who took her?" "Patsy, what?" "Dispatcher, does it say who took her?" "Patsy, no, I don't know. There's a ransom note here." "Dispatcher, it's a ransom note?" "Patsy, it says SBTC Victory, please." "Dispatcher, okay, what's your name?" "Patsy Ramsey, I'm the mother. Oh my God, please." "Dispatcher, okay, I'm sending an officer over, okay?" "Do you know how long she's been gone?" "Patsy, no, I don't. Please, we just got up and she's not here. Oh my God, please." "Dispatcher, okay, calm." And she like cuts her off and she's like, "Please send somebody." And the dispatcher says, "I am, honey." She says, "Please." And they're like, "Take a deep breath for me, okay?" And she's like, "Hurry, hurry." And then the dispatcher is just like, "Patsy, Patsy, Patsy." And it's over. Now, I will say the end of the 911 call is something that's been widely debated over the years. The dispatcher that took this call was a woman named Kimberly Archuleta. And in an interview with Dateline, Kimberly said that she immediately felt like there was something off with this call. She said the way that the call ended was strange because Patsy just hung up abruptly with no indication that the call was over and without waiting for instructions, which I
But
mean, right.
that happens every day.
It happens a lot, yeah. She said that if you listen to the call, you can hear how frantic Patsy is when she's like talking to the dispatcher. Like she can't even really answer the questions. And then
Yes.
immediately she hears a change after Patsy thought she hung up the phone because you can hear a little bit more after. She said she thought she heard her say, "Okay, we've called the police, now what?" But not in the same frantic way that she was speaking to her.
Was that recorded?
So I'm gonna tell you. So after the dispatcher repeatedly calls out to Patsy, you can just barely hear a little bit of talking going on, but it's like super muffled and you can't really make out what's being said. Because supposedly Patsy thought she had hung up the phone, like walked off, but didn't actually put the phone on the receiver. And I listened to this phone call several times, and There are 6 extra seconds of the phone call after Patsy like hung up or whatever. Kimberly had stayed on the line to try to hear what was being said. And she said it sounded like there were 2 people in the room, maybe 3. Kim said she could hear Patsy saying, "Help me, Jesus," over and over. And a man's voice saying, "We're not speaking to you." And then a child's voice saying, "What did you find?" The tape of the 911 call was sent to aerospace technicians and it was enhanced and they analyzed it. These aerospace technicians say that there are 3 distinct voices at the end of this call. They all listened to the tape themselves, like not together in a group, like they all like separately went in by themselves so that they didn't
Right.
have anybody, you know, skew what they thought they heard. They all heard the exact same conversation. So they then called in the Boulder police, and the Boulder police sent Detective Melissa Hickman to listen to the call. And she went in, she listened by herself without anybody telling her what to listen for. And she ended up hearing the exact same conversation that everybody else had heard. So I listened to the enhanced version. It's out there on the interweb, so anyone can listen to it. And by enhanced, you know, I mean they took out like the background noise and they cleaned up the audio. So nothing was like added to the audio. It was just like cleaned up so you could hear it.
Right.
So I listened to the original 911 and the enhanced version several times. I will say the enhanced version, I can absolutely hear Patsy saying, help me Jesus, like over and over. And I can absolutely hear what sounds like a young male child saying, "What did you find?" But I could not distinctly make out what there's a man in between them, but I cannot make out what he was saying. It, to me, I could not hear, "We're not speaking to you," like the
And
claims
they
are,
heard that?
supposedly. But
So I know I want to listen to it because I'll tell you right now that I actually haven't listened to the enhanced version. I know like years ago I heard the 911 call, but I never heard the enhanced one. So I
yeah,
want to listen to it.
you
But I
should.
do know, what did you find? Just sounds like the brother
It could just be
asking,
like what's going on? Why?
well, what did you find? Because she had a piece of paper in her hand.
Right.
Like,
It could
yeah.
exactly. There could have been several reasons. It could have been what
Yeah.
he was asking. What did you find?
I mean, that's exactly what comes to mind when that's being said.
Right.
Help
Right.
me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, because she's needing her daughter, like she wants to know where her daughter is. And him saying, well, what did you find? Because she's got something in her hands and she looks distraught.
Exactly. Now, if this is the case, it does put a hole in the Ramsey story because they said that Burke was still asleep at the time of the 911 call.
I do know that too. So
Right.
even if it wasn't him, like who else would have been there? Nobody.
Right. It would have just been the three of them.
Maybe they just didn't
It's
want him involved.
exactly. It's kind of an odd thing to lie about, but I can also argue both ways on this one because as a parent, I could see saying, you know, my 9-year-old was asleep to shield him from like hours of police questioning
Well,
with
right.
all this shit going on. But also, I could argue that it could make somebody think that, oh, you're lying about him being awake because you don't want him to be questioned by the police because you know more than you're saying and you're afraid he might let something slip.
We already know.
So
Now
I could see both sides of
I
it.
want to listen. I have to listen to this. We're
Okay, let me
enhanced.
see if I can find the one that I listened to.
I heard "Help me, Jesus."
I also was listening to it on my laptop with my headphones plugged in, so it was like right in my ear holes.
I'll
Yeah.
have to listen to it with headphones on
Yeah.
because it's definitely, I can hear the "Help me, Jesus,"
Right.
but I can't hear anything else. Even in the enhanced.
Yeah.
So I'll have to re-listen later because that's gonna bug
Right.
me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So yeah, the phone call sparked a lot of debate. So yeah, everybody should take a listen to that, but not yet because I'm still talking. So,
My bad.
you just couldn't wait. Another interesting little fact that sometimes doesn't get mentioned is that this 911 call was not the first 911 call that from the Ramsey house. Like, it wasn't even the first 911 call from the Ramsey house that week. 3 days before that, at 6:48 p.m. on December 23rd, a 911 call came in from the Ramsey residence. The operator answered. No one said anything on the other end, and then the call was just disconnected, like someone had just hung up without saying anything. So police were actually dispatched to the home, but no report
Which
was ever made.
they
So,
never made a re the police never made a report.
yeah, no report was
They
made.
should have.
We don't know what that was
Ooh.
about.
So they should have still made a report regardless. Like,
Right. Yeah.
it's good they got dispatched to the house because I will say I've had that happen before too. You remember?
I actually wrote about it in here.
yes. So my daughter was probably what, 2, maybe?
two, maybe three, I don't know.
Maybe three. And she had my husband's like old cell phone. You can't call out or anything, but you know that any cell phone that has power, you can call 911.
Right.
It's
Well,
a
I said,
safety thing,
yeah.
so.
So I said, okay, yeah, it's super sketchy that they didn't make a report, but there were two little kids in the house, so it's very possible one of them could have made the call. We know that there's been plenty of times nowadays when a small child's playing games on an adult's phone and will accidentally hit like the emergency call button. Carlo, cough.
Yes. So it happened and we had no idea. And in fact, we were playing,
I was there. We were there visiting at the time.
yeah, you were there visiting and we were playing like a board game and it was like
Yeah.
pretty loud and everything in our house.
Oh, yeah,
And
because
then
we
all
were
of a
all
sudden,
just like drinking
and we
and
had,
playing board games, having a fun
yes.
time.
And we had just ordered pizza like maybe 30 minutes ago. And so we got a knock at the door and we just assumed it was the pizza guy.
Right.
And I opened the door and
It was
it's a
not the pizza
police
guy.
officer there. And he was super nice, but he told me, he was like, "Hey, do you have a little kid that might have been on a phone? Because we got a 911 call." And I freaked out. I panicked. Because I had no idea what all they heard or
Right.
anything. Like
Oh, who knows?
there was, I mean, it wasn't like we were saying me or being mean to anybody, but it was like, who
I
knows
mean,
what they heard? Like
we were probably being mean
random,
to each other because we're competitive and we were playing a board
right. But I mean, like random like things. We were probably cussing
Oh,
and
yeah.
just, but anyways, they tell us. I was like, "I'm so sorry, I apologize." They still had to do a report stating that they came and checked it out.
Right.
So
So,
there not being a report in this means that either the police officer was hiding something or
yeah.
they didn't do their job.
Right. So it could have absolutely been one of the kids just accidentally calling 911. Also, it's not like how it is now where you can just hit the emergency contact and call. Like they would have had to have actually dialed 911 on a
Yes,
phone. It was
because
not a cell
back
phone.
then it no, it's that's exactly what I was about to say. With it being not a cell phone, literally somebody would have had to pick up the phone
Yeah.
and push 911 and call
Right.
them. So it makes me wonder.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we won't know the story because there was no police report.
Exactly.
So anyways, after Patsy called 911, she immediately started calling friends and family, telling them to come over because there was an emergency, even though the note that she read specifically said not to do that.
Also, why would you call friends and family to come over when you're in such a, I don't know. I guess some
I don't.
people think differently, but I'm going to tell you right now that if my child had been kidnapped and I had a ransom note, the last thing that I would have been thinking about was calling friends and family to come over.
Right.
I mean, they're going to see it on the news and they can come over themselves.
Like, I would not be thinking about that at all.
No, absolutely not.
Especially if I was holding a ransom note that
That
specifically
said,
said,
not to do it.
don't do that. Yeah. Obviously, I mean, I don't know how. You can't say how you're going to react in a situation at the time, but
That's
I
what
like
I,
to
that's,
think that I wouldn't do
and that's what I
that.
meant. Like, I'm not putting any judgment on her at all for doing that, but I'm just saying, like, me personally, I wouldn't even be thinking about doing that. Like, that's just,
No.
I wouldn't want to be talking to anybody. I would want my phone lines open,
Open for when
even
they
if I,
called.
yes, especially back then, open for when I want my phone lines open. I wouldn't want anybody making any calls. Any calls that came through, I'd answer. If it wasn't anything important, I'd be like, "I gotta go, hang up."
I'd just
Like,
hang up. I wouldn't even say anything.
yes. Like,
Right.
I wouldn't be thinking about a group of people, which, again,
They have
you
a
know,
different lifestyle, you know, they're a big
they do.
based on.
Maybe they needed the support there. Who
Right.
knows? But me personally, I wouldn't want anybody around me because I would be so unhinged and
Yeah,
distraught.
for sure. So, two police arrived at the Ramsey home that morning within 3 minutes of the 911 call.
Oh, that's quick.
Yeah, these officers wrote in the report that upon arrival, which was 3 minutes after the 911 call, like I just said, so just barely 6 a.m. John Ramsey was wearing khaki pants, a pinstripe button-down shirt, and Patsy Ramsey was wearing a red sweater, black slacks, and her hair and makeup were done.
How? If you just woke
Exactly.
up.
So this gives me little uneasy vibes. Like, you woke up and found your daughter had been kidnapped, called 911, and realized that somebody was going to be at your house soon, so you had to get all made up. or
But you don't have time to do that in 3 minutes.
I mean,
No, you don't have time to go and put your makeup on and have your hair done in 3 minutes.
right, so
Listen, I look at my
right.
hair.
It is 11:15 a.m. Look at my hair.
You can tell I had a messy bun yesterday.
So
There ain't
I
three
don't
minutes I
know.
can fix that.
I don't know if that was just her lifestyle. Like, she was a Southern pageant girl that was raised to be presentable. So she thought, shit, people are coming. I need to make myself up real fast. But again, 3 minutes doesn't seem fast enough to do that.
I can't make this presentable in 10
Right.
minutes.
So we don't know if she got up and did her hair and makeup when she first got
Prior
up before
and
she
just
started going
found it
downstairs.
after. Yeah, that
But
is possible.
she didn't specifically say that though. She said she got up, she brushed her teeth, and then headed downstairs to make coffee, and found the note. So I
But
don't
I
know.
mean, again,
It was a
you gotta
frantic
look at
time.
every right. You gotta look
Exactly.
at every perspective. Maybe she's an early riser and she was getting ready for the day, and then she walks downstairs and finds the ransom note.
I mean, she did say she got up around 5:30, and she called police. Like, the police got there right at 6.
Right.
So she could have gotten completely ready before she went downstairs to make coffee.
I mean,
But
3 minutes
a lot of
is
people like to focus
pretty
on
quick.
that and think that it's kind of gross. So I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, this is the beginning of what would become a completely botched investigation. So the first officers to respond to the call would then take an hour to assess the situation, which this assessment included a quick search of this giant maze of a home, in which they didn't find anything that looked suspicious or out of place, no obvious forced entry or exit. Everything was locked up and looked normal. During this time, one of the officers had gone down into the basement, looked around, noticed another wooden door that led to the wine cellar, stopped in front of the door, but never opened it and just left the basement. So around 7 a.m., after spending an hour assessing and finding nothing, they paged detectives. And then after getting this page, detectives would then go to police headquarters for a quick briefing and to gather materials before heading to the Ramsey's house and finally arriving at 8:11 a.m. So 2 hours and 19 minutes after Patsy called 911. Even though they knew they had a missing child and a ransom note. So I'm gonna go ahead and get into the ransom note details. This was considered unusually long for a ransom note. You know, usually ransom notes are just super quick to the point, like, I have your
Right.
person, give me this much
Bring
money. Yeah.
money.
Right.
Yeah.
This was not like that. So this was weird. I'm gonna read it real quick.
Okay.
So it said, "Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction." So it says, "We do respect your business," but then the word "do" is marked out. Like, why are you?
Okay.
Yeah, so we do respect your business, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. She is safe and unharmed, and if you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account.
That's so precise.
$100,000 will be in $100 bills, and the remaining $18,000 will be in $20 bills. Make sure you bring an adequate sized attaché to the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor
Because
you,
you can just go to sleep with your daughter
yeah.
missing.
If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money and hence an earlier pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert bank authorities, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You'll be scanned for electronic devices, and if any are found, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with the law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions, and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny, as well as the authorities. Don't try to grow brain, John. You're not the only fat cat around, so don't think that the killing won't be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good Southern common sense of yours. It is up to you now, John. And then it says victory with an exclamation point, and then the letters SBTC.
Also, why are you saying John so many times?
Right, like that's creepy. Who does that? So, super sketchy. There's a lot of controversy with this note. I'm going to touch on a few things that stand out as super odd. So, first of all, this note reads like something someone got out of a movie, right?
Right.
Maybe a coincidence, but remember the movie Ransom with Mel Gibson? Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
So, it literally had just come out in November and was still in theaters at the time of this crime. It was a huge movie at the time. Very possible that whoever wrote this ransom note had recently seen that movie and like borrowed the premise for this note. It sounds super made up. Nobody talks like this. Like,
Right.
what criminal is going to say, bring an adequately sized attaché to the bank? Like, they don't know that word.
Nobody. I would have been like, Google what this is.
Also, like you said, why would they write be well rested? Like, be well rested. Who cares? You kidnapped my kid. Why would you care if I'm rested or not? Like, why would they care if you're well rested? It just makes
But you don't
sense.
care. You're talking about beheading my child. How
Right.
do you, why do you care if I've got bags under my eyes or not?
Okay. The part that says you stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Why not 100%? Like, why are you giving them a 1% chance that you're not gonna kill her? Like, what is that?
Because there's a
That's
1% chance that our guys are dumb. No, I'm just
right.
kidding.
And the whole we respect your business part was super odd. Like, why would you
We
take the time to
do.
write that in a ransom note,
We.
though? Like, who
Come on.
cares? You just kidnapped my kid. Who cares? It's all super odd. Odd. It's super odd. This kidnapper's like, I'm gonna behead your daughter, but I respect your business. Like, what is that? Like, I don't
Yeah.
understand.
Yeah.
It's all very strange. It doesn't make sense.
Also,
Besides.
ransom notes shouldn't be 3 pages long.
Exactly. I think it was like 2.5 pages. Besides the fact that the note is completely riddled with grammatical errors and it's super strange, one of the first things about it that everyone noticed was the fact that this ransom note was written on Patsy's own personal stationery from a notebook in the kitchen.
Yes, which is part of the controversy on who did it.
Yes.
I did know that too. Of course, there's two different ways. Could have been they had a big party, remember? And
Yeah.
somebody could have
I'm
been
like,
in their house, but
Right. So it was written with a pen that had been sitting on the counter, meaning it wasn't a part of this big master plan the kidnapper had all ready to go when they broke in to take JonBenet. This note
right.
was written while the kidnapper was still in the house. So
Right.
you would think that someone was breaking in a home to kidnap a child for ransom, they would be prepared to do this quickly. Like they'd already have the note written. They'd just throw it down, grab the kid, and
But
go.
also, with such a big house, you know there's still alarm systems back then.
Yeah.
Listen, ADT was around.
It was. So yeah, they would want to get in and out. They wouldn't want to risk staying too long in the house, you know, somebody waking up, them getting caught. But no, the note was written in the house with materials found in the house, almost as if it was like an afterthought, like, oh, maybe I should write a ransom note about it. You know?
Yeah.
Also, this wasn't the first draft of the note. There was a practice draft that was found balled up and like thrown away in the home. And then this was a long ass note. It would have taken a long time to start this note, think about it, decide,
Like,
oh shit. They're like, oh, I don't like this draft. I'm just gonna ball it up and throw it away, and then write another 2.5 page long note. Like,
that's not how
what?
that works. Like, especially if you're not wanting to get caught. I
Right.
mean, anybody could have woke up and come down and
It's just odd. Another
yeah, it
thing
is
that stood
odd.
out was the amount of ransom that was requested. So the 118,000.
That's what I said. Isn't that such a random amount? It's such a
Well,
random amount.
it's a very specific number that happened to be the exact amount of John Ramsey's recent Christmas bonus. Like he had just gotten a Christmas bonus that was exactly $118,000. So this led to
Also,
tons of
where
speculation. Where the fuck do you work that that's your Christmas bonus?
I about to say that. I was about to say, I already know that we talked about where he worked, but come on, man. How do I get a Christmas bonus that
Okay, because he was a very important businessman.
big? Help me, I'm poor.
So a lot of people are like, this proves that the Ramses wrote this ransom note. It's too much of a coincidence. Like, how would
I
anyone know to
mean,
put that exact number?
But it is.
unless it was them or someone super close to them that knew exactly the amount of his bonus. Does look super, super, super shady being
But
on their paper.
who knew the exact amount of his bonus though? Because you're not supposed to disclose what you make with anybody that you work with. Just
Right,
saying.
you're not supposed to, but I will also say there was a bank statement sitting right on the counter that showed the deposit for that check. So it is possible that an intruder saw the bank statement and was like, "Well, hot damn, I know they have this much at least. Let me just write this 3-page ransom note about it. I don't know.
Well, hot damn.
Let me just find something to write on slash write with, and I'm just gonna write this up real quick because I just saw that Mel Gibson movie, so now I know that that's a thing that criminals do, you know?
man.
I think I've decided, like, if that's the case, it was just a really dumb, like, floored man that somehow made his way to
Right.
Colorado to try to be criminal. Like,
Oh man.
I don't know. I 100% think, I don't think this was ever supposed to be a kidnapping. Like, the ransom note is too. Like,
Well, we all don't think it was supposed to be a kidnapping when you find out, like,
right, what happened? It was never supposed to be a
yes,
kidnapping. So the ransom note is
no.
just super fucking
It, and to be honest, it was
shady and
never,
sketchy.
let's just fix this. It wasn't supposed to be, it never was
It never
a
was.
kidnapping.
Never was a
It
kidnapping.
never was, because when you get into this case and you find out where she was found and everything and how
Right.
it was never a kidnapping.
Never.
Which honestly, it still makes my stomach churn just a little bit, and just knowing like where she was and stuff
Yeah.
and how long it took. Okay, go on.
So, definitely not a kidnapping. I have in my mind a few possibilities for what happened here. Kidnapping gone wrong is not one of them. Like, this could have been some random ass terrible criminal, saw a big house, thought, oh, they probably got some nice shit I can steal, and then end up seeing this bank statement, decide to go big or go home. Who knows? Or someone was intentionally trying to hurt JonBenet, not necessarily to kill her, but possibly someone that had been watching her pageants, some kind of
Right.
sicko pedophile piece of shit. Then things got out of hand. She was murdered, and the whole kidnapping charade was like a distraction to try to get as far away as possible before she was found. Who knows? There's like a ton of possibilities. We'll get into them more in the second part. But yeah, this was definitely never going to be a kidnapping. Another thing of note about the ransom note is that all of the handwriting analysis that was done on it, so experts believe that whoever wrote this note was specifically trying to disguise their handwriting. Like, they were trying
Yeah.
to not write like themselves.
They were trying to write sloppier,
Right.
different.
There were so many
Which
inconsistencies.
also, when you think about that too, when you're sitting here writing a 3-page fucking ransom note, and you're trying to disguise your handwriting, it takes even more time to try to disguise your handwriting.
Exactly, exactly. There was so many inconsistencies in how some of the letters were written that they're like, no, this is clearly somebody trying to, you know.
Like, you have to think about that when you're trying to write
Right.
like somebody else. You would have
Yes.
to think about that.
You have, yeah, for sure. So they analyzed handwriting sa samples from 74 different people. And experts, a lot of experts agree that Patricia Ramsey's handwriting was the only one that they compared to this handwriting in the ransom note that set off alarm bells. Do with that information what you will. So, handwriting analysis is kind of similar to like polygraph tests in that they aren't definitive. They can be a little iffy.
Right.
The whole handwriting thing is something that's largely argued both ways in this case. On one hand, you have multiple handwriting analysts, multiple handwriting analysts that say that they believe Patsy's handwriting is a match. If you actually look at the handwriting sample and the ransom note side by side, you can absolutely see a lot of similarities. But on the other hand, it's argued that these analysts don't feel confident enough to say that it's 100% for sure her handwriting,
Which you
which you can't do
can't
because it's
a
not
hundred 100%,
100% accurate like
right?
polygraph tests. So,
Which
you know,
exactly, yeah, polygraphs are not 100% accurate
a
either.
lot of people in the world have similar handwriting. It's very likely that she could just have similar handwriting to whoever wrote
It's
this.
True.
I mean, every girl in high school literally wrote exactly the same when I was in
Oh
high
my
school.
gosh, they really did though.
Giant letters with like capital R's all up in the middle of the words, you know. So
Unfortunately, I still write that
I do too.
way.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's the
That's so
ransom note.
funny.
Yeah. Okay, so back to where we left off. Kidnappers said they'd call between 8 and 10. By the time detectives finally arrived, it was already after 8, so they could have missed their chance to record the phone call had it come in. Detectives and a forensic team get to the house. There were several critical mistakes made during this investigation. I will say that this was the only murder in this area of Boulder that year, so they weren't very equipped or trained to deal with these types of things. But also, there's some training that you have to do. Like, you should know basic investigation steps. Like, that should be a thing.
I mean, they do go to training every,
Right.
like you have to, it's a repetitive training every year, just so you know. Law enforcement officers, training is never done. And
But
law
they
enforcement
didn't.
officers do include investigators too.
Right. But they didn't do any of the basic investigation steps, like, at all. They did not
Right.
conduct a proper search of the house upon arrival. The area wasn't even sealed off at all. So instead of
Which,
closing off the house and letting
that's,
evidence help them put together what actually happened.
but that's the first responding officer's job. The
Right, yeah.
first responding officer,
They
that is
can close.
literally their job. When they're the ones that came 3 minutes after the phone call,
Yes.
they should have immediately secured the area. Like, you have to.
Absolutely.
That is your job. Otherwise, you contaminate the crime scene because it's still a crime scene.
Yeah. Well, when they got there, they were just thinking, well, this is a kidnapping. She was in a room, so let's just shut
I
down
know.
her room and nothing
Yeah,
else in the house
no.
matters. So her
I
room,
mean,
Jaminet's room, was the only room that they sealed off.
I
Giving,
did read that. I did
yeah.
read that, and it still floors me because the entire house and like outside around the house should have all been
It
secured
should have
off,
all been shut
period.
down. Like, nobody can come around here. Yeah, no. They gave tons of people free range to roam around the entire house, destroying who knows what evidence.
Yes.
People have been coming in and out of the house nonstop all day.
Also, another thing that should have happened, that didn't happen, because I don't know if you put this in your notes, they were supposed to separate all the family members and
Yes, I did put
everyone
that. Yeah.
away from each other. You are
Yeah.
not supposed, once first responding is there, Patsy, John, their son, all of them should have been separated. They're not allowed to talk to each other.
For sure. Yeah. Everyone's walking through the house. Police, detectives, the Ramsey's friends. You know, she called all of her friends.
Yes.
Their friends just coming into the house, walking everywhere. No moves were made to protect any forensic evidence that could have been there.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody seemed to take it seriously that this was a crime scene. They had no idea what had happened to JonBenet, but they knew that she appeared to be kidnapped, hence crime scene, right? Even if she was taken from her room, whoever done it had clearly gotten in somehow and gone through other places of the house. So they should have shut it all down and tried to save any kind of evidence that might have been there. But no, did not happen.
Just like this, I wonder if the same officers that came and responded and didn't put a report were the same ones that were the first on the
Right?
scene.
It's
Because they
possible.
did a really shitty job. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't care if they hear this either.
Right.
That was just a really shitty job. And I'm sure whoever was responsible for that probably felt like crap
Oh,
later. But
yeah. I mean, they've said it. They've said in interviews that they wish they had
yes.
thought about all of this all differently.
It's just protocol. I mean, it's the first thing you learn, though. It's
It
literally the first
is.
thing you learn as a law enforcement officer. It is the first thing you learn. First responding officer, first on the scene, secure the scene. Immediately make sure that if there is a victim, that the body is secured and nobody's around it.
Right.
Witnesses are separated, which they are still witnesses,
Right.
even though it's a ransom note. They're witnesses. You
Right.
separate them. You do not put them in the same room because everybody at this point is a suspect.
Yeah, you don't know what happened. You don't know what happened.
No.
You know how you can figure out what happened? If you preserve any evidence that might be around so that you can
Yes.
put that together.
You immediately have an entry and an exit in which people, as in people, not just random people, but
No,
as in
like,
law enforcement and investigators can come through and not contaminate the scene. Like, come on.
so not only was everybody just walking around the house, roaming around, they were cleaning it. So at one point, some of
Yes,
Patsy's
and
friends were
I knew that, and
like
I scream every time
helping
I think
her
about that.
like wipe up and clean the kitchen. Like most likely trying to help her get a mind off of things, you know, keep her busy, but they're literally like possibly wiping away evidence. So this is where I talk about what you kind of mentioned. Another pretty big fuck up was that they should have immediately separated the Ramses and taken statements from them. The Ramses weren't interviewed until 5 months after that day, and they didn't even separate them for it.
Which bothers me because 5 months, you can literally make up your own story.
Like, it will change in your mind. Like, I don't know. I don't know what happened here. So they were also sharing any evidence they did find with the Rammies, with the Ramses. They're sharing evidence with them.
You're not supposed to disclose what you find. It's an investigation.
Right.
Literally, this whole case makes me so mad every time
Right.
every single time I hear
Like, obviously, I know these are two like panicked parents, their 6-year-old daughter taken from their home, supposedly as they slept on Christmas Day. But I could see somebody like, oh, I want to try to ease their mind, you know, oh, we found this, you know. But it's an active investigation. There's protocol for a reason, and it should be followed despite emotions or how you feel about something. You don't know anything about what's happened yet. So we've got people stomping all over the entire crime scene, literally cleaning it up. And let's not all forget that there's another kid that lives in this house. 9-year-old Burke was supposedly still asleep in his room during all of this commotion that's going on. He apparently never woke up when his mother screamed, not very far from his room when she realized JonBenet was missing, or when police showed up, most likely with their sirens going if they got there within 3 minutes of the phone call. Tons of people were coming in and out of the home. Like, there was a lot of shit happening in that house that morning, and this 9-year-old child never came out of his room. So some people argue that he was just really asleep. Some people argue that he was probably too scared to come out because he didn't know what was going on. And some people argue that he didn't come out of his room because he was specifically told not to come out of his room. We don't know. All we
I
know is
feel like
that he didn't come out.
I will. I'm again gonna play the devil's advocate here too. But I definitely feel like, especially if I can later listen to the enhanced version, if it does say, "What did you find?" in a child's voice, then I'm gonna lean towards he was told to go to his room and not come out. And
Right. Yeah.
it could be many reasons why. We all know it could be
Exactly.
because they didn't want him questioned. It could be because of something else. It could be like, who knows? Go on.
Right. All I know that I feel like if this happened to me, like if I woke up and I found out that somebody had broken into my house while I was asleep and took one of my kids, I would not let my other kid out of my sight. Like, they would be on my side at all times.
100%.
I don't know. I mean, because there was no sign. There was no sign of forced entry or exit. So who's to say that the kidnapper hadn't come in through his window? They don't know because he's been locked up in there, you know?
I
The
know,
house was barely
that's why I said
searched.
it was definitely done poorly because literally you're supposed to secure the entire premises,
Right.
outdoors, indoors, all of it, secure it
Yeah.
all.
But
And the witnesses are supposed to be separated and brought to one specific area for questioning.
yeah, but like his room wasn't searched. He never came out of the room.
No.
So it, the whole him staying in his room is just odd to me. It's like it's everything was fucked up with this investigation. Also,
Right.
like nobody's even checking on him. He just stayed in
No.
his room. So they were all set up. They had phones tapped. They're ready for this kidnapper to call. Remember, they were supposed to call between 8 and 10 a.m.
Right. And like you said already, that police didn't even get there until after eight,
Till a
so
little
they could have
after
even
eight.
been.
Right. So the Ramses had made arrangements. They had their ransom money all ready to go. Everyone's just waiting, you know, walking around, cleaning up the crime scene, just waiting for this phone call.
Which
10 a.m. comes, then 10:01. Time just passes by. No phone call from this ransom note writer. And nobody in the family seemed to notice that it was after 10 and there had been no phone call. Like, I would have
again,
been losing my shit.
I think that's what I was gonna say. Again, if you are given a ransom note and they tell you they're gonna call you at this time or this time, my eyes would be focused on the clock waiting.
Yes, at 9:59, I would be like going insane, just staring at the clock.
I would have been doing it at 7:59.
Oh, yeah. By 10:01, I would have been like hysterical. Like, I would have been
Oh,
like
100%.
all the worst case scenarios, thinking that maybe I'd got my daughter killed by calling the police. Who knows, you
Yep.
know? But
Or
they,
all your friends and family.
yeah. Not only did they not notice that the deadline had passed, John Ramsay actually like left the room on three different occasions while waiting for the phone call. One of those times that he left the room, the phone actually rang and he had to run back into the room to get to the phone in time to answer it. And it just been something like completely unrelated, but I feel like I would have been sitting by the phone, like you said, like for the entire 2 hours waiting for it to ring. But no, he was just walking around, which I get people deal with stuff in different ways.
Right.
I feel like my husband would be the exact opposite of how I would be. Like, he would not be able to sit down. He would have to walk around, pace around, or he would just go into a full-blown panic attack, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like mine would be the same,
Right.
but I mean, he wouldn't be leaving like the room. It would be fidgeting,
It'd
standing
be
up,
super fidgeting,
pacing.
just walking around the room, probably.
Right.
So that could have been what was going on with John. Who knows? But he was just leaving the phone a lot. While all
He
of this.
definitely would have freaked out on me if I was cleaning.
So while all this was going on, the Ramsey's good friend Fleet White decided that he was going to do his own search of the house because remember, everyone was allowed to just do whatever. It was later noted during all of the searches done in the house for JonBenet, Fleet White was the only person who called out her name while he was like looking for her. He later said that he did this because in the past he had actually called 911 in a panic because his own daughter was missing, and it turned out that she was just playing this great game of hide and seek with everyone, and nobody knew but her, so she was just hiding.
Right.
So Fleet said that he had that incident in his mind and thought slash hoped that maybe JonBenet was doing the same thing. So Fleet went down to the basement and said that during that search, he noticed that all of the basement windows were closed, but the middle of the three windows was unlatched. So there was like three windows kind of toward the top of the basement, towards the ceiling. And he said the middle one was like unlocked, basically, but they're all closed. He said that he didn't touch it. He didn't lock it. He just left it in that condition. And what he did touch was the door to the wine cellar. You know, the one that the other police officer didn't even bother to
Right.
look in while he was searching.
Which,
Right.
never mind. Go on.
So Fleet opened the door to the wine cellar while still calling out to JonBenet, and he actually took a step into the wine cellar to take a look around. But it was pitch black in there. There was no windows to let any light in that room. And he said that he felt around for a light switch, but he couldn't find one. And as far as he could see, like as far as his eyes had adjusted to the darkness, and he could see that there was nothing in the wine cellar but wine. But also he couldn't see really well. It was dark. So he said he went back upstairs after that.
Right.
Now, by this time, the deadline for the phone call is gone. Everyone has no idea what to do now. John Ramsay decided that he had to do something, so he was going to take another look around. So John starts searching the house. He goes down to the basement. So now he's the third person to go down to search the basement at this point.
Which I find very odd that all of a sudden you go down to the basement after
After
what,
Fleet had
like.
just gone down there.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I mean. Like, not just the police officer, but after your friend too. Like, I
Right.
just find that odd that you're like, that's the first place that you decide to go.
Yeah. While he's in the basement, John noticed that one of the basement windows was broken and opened, and that there was a suitcase positioned under the window.
But how was it broken now? Because
Well, he later
didn't.
said that he remembered that he had actually broken that window a few weeks before all of this because he had gotten locked out of the house, so he broke it to get in. But Flea didn't say anything about the window being broken.
That's what I was saying was like, that's weird because he said it wasn't broken, it was unlatched.
Right. Now, John says that he said it was broken and opened, which
But
it would
that's
still
not at
it would
all what your friend said.
Right. So he said that he, at that point, he went over and he closed the broken window and latched it.
Also, why would you do
Right.
that?
Why would you do that? A crime scene video that was taken after he had gone back upstairs or whatever and said that he closed and latched the window, you can clearly see the window is unlatched and opened. So this whole basement window thing is just really a really odd, inconsistent story. At some point that morning, Fleet White drove Burke over to his house. So I guess somebody had finally like woke him up, air quote,
Also,
and
what little kid, being the age that he was, sleeps that late? I'm just saying.
yeah. So He got up. The Ramses decided he needed to get out of there and not be exposed to everything going on. So Fleet took Bert to his house, left him there with some of like his family or whatever, and then went back to the Ramsey home. Around 1 o'clock p.m., John is pacing back and forth like a madman. Like he's almost full-blown panic mode by this time. And when the detectives decided to ask John and Fleet to help her make another sweep of the house, she's like, "Why don't y'all just take another look around, see if you can find anything, any clue that we may have missed in the last 7 hours that we've already been here fucking up the crime
Oh, any
scene, you know?
clue that you have already, any
Fucking
clue
tampered
that you've
with."
already, yes, contaminated.
Right.
You
So,
mean that? Okay.
yeah. So this detective said that she was trying to distract him, you know, because he was so panicked, which is a nice thought, you know.
Right.
Give him a task to keep him distracted, but like, stop having civilians search the crime scene. Stop
Fucking thank you.
it. You would think.
Usually to calm them down, it's here, let's go out this exit
Let's have
that
some
has been
nice warm
secured that we're
tea.
allowed to go out
Right.
and have some coffee or some tea.
Yeah. These off
Not
these.
let's just go look around the house again.
Right. I understand that these people weren't specifically trained in this sort of thing. Like, they weren't super trained in this sort of thing. Like, it's not something that they had to do very often. But you would think at some point, at least one of them would have been like, oh shit, we should probably like get some crime scene tape and block off this area from civilians, right?
Okay, but here's my thought. This is gonna sound awful. Like even if you weren't studying this type of thing, or you weren't 100% like aware of what it takes to be an investigator, a detective, a law enforcement officer, anything like that, I feel like it's still fucking common sense.
Right. You would think
I
at
feel
some
like it
point
is
somebody would be like,
still.
oh crap. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like as just a passerby, a innocent bystander coming in on the scene, you wouldn't do it because you'd be like, oh man, what if my thought would be for them, it'd probably be like, what if my DNA gets left
Okay.
behind
And
here?
then they think
Like,
I did this, right?
yes, like that. I'm sorry, but that's my mindset. Like, it's
Yeah.
fucking common sense. It's
It's
common
crazy.
sense,
It's
dude.
crazy. Nope. Instead, let's just let civilians walk around and clean up and literally destroy any evidence that could have been there. Cool. You know? So she told them to search the house, quote, from top to bottom. And John immediately went straight down to the basement. So, like, the reverse of what she said, but okay.
Also, why do you keep going down to the
Why do you keep
basement?
going to the basement? Like, maybe he's like, I'm going to work my way up, you know?
Why do you keep going down to the
I
basement?
don't know.
What's in
What's in
the
the basement? So, John and Fleet head down to the basement. So, this is both of their second trips to the basement because they'd both gone down separate times on their own. When they got down there, Fleet noticed the broken window and was like, oh shit, I didn't notice the window was broken before. And John was like, yeah, I broke that before all of this because I was locked out. And Fleet was like, okay, you should probably mention that to police though, because they could see that and think it's
Bruh.
related to all of this, right? And,
And
you know.
also, I'm sorry, it wouldn't have been a, I would have been like, no, it wasn't. I was already down here.
Right. I mean, like, I could have sworn.
I'm sorry, but I'm gonna call your motherfucking ass out, whether you're in front or not. Like, that is me 100%. I'd be like, no, I came down here myself and I saw that and it was not broken.
This is when John opened the door to the wine cellar, turned on the light, and saw his daughter. So JonBenet was lying on the floor of the wine cellar. She had a white blanket draped over her torso. She was wearing the white pajama pants and the white sequin star shirt that she'd been wearing when she'd gone to bed. Her wrists were tied together with a white nylon cord, and her arms were stretched over her head. There was duct tape over her mouth. There was another nylon cord around her neck that was pulled so tight that initially John didn't even see it. Like, it was so tight that he couldn't even see there was a rope around her neck. This cord was pulled by a garrote that had been made from a broken paintbrush handle that was later found to have been taken from Patsy's paint kit that was sitting outside the cellar doorway. The other part of the broken paintbrush was later found in the same room on the floor. Now, when John turned the light on, Fleet saw JonBenet and immediately, you know, starts running upstairs yelling for someone to call an ambulance. John immediately ran for JonBenet, pulled the duct tape off of her mouth, and started untying some of the cords around her.
Why the fuck are you touching her body?
Now, exactly, but
Now, I will
also I get
say,
this reaction.
I was gonna say, I will say, my mindset is, why the fuck are you touching her body from law enforcement side? But at the same time, as a parent,
Yes.
you wouldn't be able to stop me.
Right. If you see your
So I do get
child
it too.
laying on the floor tied up, you're immediately
You know
like, get this shit off
you're
of my
gonna
kid. Like,
do.
you're exactly.
Yes.
He didn't know
Yes.
whether she was dead or alive at the time,
No, no.
supposedly.
And
So,
I 100% get this reaction too, so.
right. So remember, Fleet had opened the door in that room and couldn't find the light, but he said there didn't appear to
Right.
be anything in there. Fleet later said that he thought John yelled, "Oh my God," before he turned the light on. John later told police that he could clearly see the outline of the blanket and knew that his daughter was there. But Fleet, who was John's best friend, says that he's sure she wasn't there when he looked in that room. He said, you know, he couldn't find the light switch, so he couldn't turn the light on and wasn't 100% positive, but he's like, "No, I stepped in the room, I saw nothing." Investigators later tested this out to see if they could see the blanket in the room in the dark, and none of them could see it.
Which makes me wonder, and then again, I'm not pointing fingers,
Right.
but if he was so sure that there was no outline of the blanket or anything, you do know that John went down there after Fleet went down
Right.
there the first time.
This is true. Yeah.
And there was no broken window, and then there
Supposedly,
was a
there was
broken
no,
window,
exactly. Exactly.
and there was no body, and now there's a body.
Right. We don't know. But
No, sounds pretty sketchy to me.
this whole case is fucking sketchy as hell. But do with all that what you will. So John then
Right.
picked JonBenet up and ran upstairs with her. Patsy and Priscilla White were in the sunroom when JonBenet was found, and the men like started screaming and running upstairs, and Priscilla got up and went to go see what all the fuss was about, but Patsy didn't get up. So a lot of people argue that this is super odd, like someone's yelling to call an ambulance and she didn't budge. But also people argue you don't know how you'll react in certain situations. She could have just been like zoned out and like in a state of shock from what's been going on and just like not there, you know. So once John got upstairs, he placed JonBenet on the ground in the hallway while repeatedly crying, my angel," which is fucking heartbreaking. Then a pretty weird thing happened. One of the detectives picked JonBenet up and moved her, placing her on the ground at the
Yeah,
bottom of the Christmas tree.
you're not supposed to do that.
Like, for why? You're a detective. You know basic detectiving, supposedively, you know.
Detecting.
Detectiving. So family members then covered JonBenet up with a sweater and a blanket. It's just like so much fucking up the crime scene. Everything's so contaminated at this point. Patsy was then helped into the room because she was in such a state of like shock that she was having trouble walking on her own. When she saw JonBenet lying on the ground, she threw herself over her body and started screaming and sobbing uncontrollably. It was at this point that Fleet White went back down to the basement by himself and collected the duct tape, cord, and blanket. I know he's like trying to be helpful and stuff. Like he took it back up to the police, but don't do that. Touching
You
things.
literally just put your DNA all over at.
I wrote, "Now your DNA is all over this stuff, my guy." So, interestingly, there's a crime scene photo that was taken around the time that Fleet went back down to collect the evidence, and in that photo, middle window was wide open again. Like, what's up with this window? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You did say that his friend went up the stairs immediately and started calling for police.
Right.
Yeah, so the only one left down there again was
Right.
John.
It's so fucking weird. So there was no sign of any kind of disturbance. There was dust and cobwebs around the window frame. So if someone was opening it, you would think that there'd be some kind of sign of it, right? Even if somebody opened it from outside the window, they would have had to slide in. And so you'd be able to see in the dust and stuff where somebody slid in. Also, there was no sign of disturbance on the ground outside of the window. So it appeared that someone had opened the window from the inside, but not tried to go out through the window. And it was clear that nobody had come in or gone out.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the deal with the fucking window?
They're trying to make it look like an exit and entry.
Right.
And when he told his friend that he had broken it, then he was like, Oh, you should have told police. Then he probably panicked and was like, oh, I should reopen it.
Right. There's no telling.
Because this could have been the exit and enter. But also, you know what my mind's actually thinking, but.
Now, around 1:30 that afternoon, so about 30 minutes after JonBenet's body was discovered, one of the detectives heard John Ramsey on the phone booking a private flight to Atlanta for him, Patsy, and Burke.
Why are you booking a flight, bruh? Your
Right,
daughter
so
was missing.
the detective suddenly remembered that he was a detective, and he was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, what you doing there? Like, you can't leave the city right now." And John was like, "I have a meeting that I can't miss."
Bitch, you about to miss it.
Right. They're like, no, you're gonna miss it. Like, your 6-year-old daughter was just murdered in your own home. They're like, I think work will understand if you call in. Like, you can miss this meeting. So, police spoke to John and Patsy and Burke briefly, very briefly. The couple was very cooperative and provided hair and blood samples at that time. The medical examiner didn't get to the Ramsey home until around 8 p.m., so 7 hours after JonBenet's body was found. Don't know why it took that long.
I don't either because they're literally immediately called by
Right.
supervisors
And I
to
feel
come to the
like
scene because you have to be able to determine the time of the
time of
death.
death. Exactly.
And it's
Exactly.
harder to determine time of death if you wait 7 fucking hours.
Right.
2 to 4 hours is when rigor mortis sets in.
Right. Also, this was the only murder in that area the whole entire year. So it's not like they were busy
No.
checking out other murders.
Unless they were actually not called
Right.
immediately, which
Right.
again, I can actually say that I would believe that they weren't called because they weren't doing very good detective work.
Right. So we're gonna get into the autopsy a little bit now. So everyone know, gonna get a little rough. Just
Yeah.
warning. So, an autopsy was performed the next morning. In the autopsy, JonBenet's time of death was stated to have been between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. So, big, big time there.
Yeah.
It's believed that it was closer to 10 p.m. because decomposition that was already starting.
Which, if everybody remembers, they arrived home at 9:30.
Right. So she had several injuries that could have been the cause of death, but a skull fracture and strangulation killed her. The official cause of death was listed as asphyxia by strangulation associated with craniocerebral trauma. There wasn't conclusive evidence of a rape, but there were questions related to see if she had been sexually assaulted in some way. A 6-year-old. Was a very, very small amount of blood found in the underwear that she was wearing. She had marks on her back and neck that looked like they could have been made by the prongs of a taser. And it was noted that the cords around her wrist were very loose, so loose that they didn't even leave marks on her wrist. However, like I said before, the cord around her neck was pulled so tight that it made a super deep indention, like in her neck, like you couldn't even see the rope initially. She had petechial marks around her eyes, which is awful because that means she was alive when she got garroted. It is possible that she was unconscious, though, from the blow that she'd taken to the head. So even though that's fucking awful, I hope she was, because I hope she wasn't awake when she was getting strangled. She also had a strange quarter-sized triangular-shaped bruise on the front of her neck. As for the question of sexual assault, the autopsy revealed that she had most likely been sexually assaulted with a paintbrush handle, either at the time of her death or after. So they also found evidence that she might have been possibly been sexually assaulted more times than before that night. Her pediatrician later said that they never found anything amiss. Like, there was no red flags, nothing stood out to them that would ever lead them to question whether or not she was being sexually assaulted. But there were several, like, physicians and experts that all agreed that she had been for weeks or months before her death. So, interesting fact about the cord. The cord was, you know, that white thin rope. Yeah. So, it was noted that the cords around the garrote and then around her neck were brand new, like from a brand new package, because the one around the garrote had that one end that was like super smooth, like glued in. It looked brand new out of the package. And then the other ends of the cords were all frayed, like they'd been cut. This led investigators to believe that the garrote was made first and then tied around her wrist, which makes this all seem staged.
Yep.
Like, usually, if someone ties a person up, they'll bound their wrists first and then start working on the garrote.
Well, I mean, I already thought that when they said that there was no marks on the wrist. That
Right.
makes no sense. Why would you even tie up the wrists? Because at
Exactly.
that
This
point,
explains why the cords are so loose around the wrists. Yeah.
because at that point, like, you know that she passed, like, she died before her wrists were ever bound.
Right. Another odd slash interesting discovery was in the duct tape. So there was mucus that had come out of JonBenet's nose, which is common in strangulation.
Right.
The duct tape was placed over the stream of mucus, meaning she had already been strangled or and was either unconscious or already dead when the duct tape was put on her mouth. Another thing of note about the duct tape was that there was a perfect imprint on the sticky side of the tape of JonBenet's lips on it. Perfect imprint, meaning that she wasn't moving or struggling at all when the duct tape was placed on her mouth.
Yeah, so again, that shows and indicates that she was already dead.
Right.
An interesting fact about duct tape, just so you guys know, if you are bound with duct tape prior to dying, when it is pulled off, typically they will find saliva literally all over it. All over it. And in
Yeah.
this case, with there being just an indention and
Perfect imprint of her lips.
yeah.
So these facts about the duct tape is a big reason people believe that the way she was found was staged. There was also more evidence pointing to this not being staged. So there was unknown male DNA evidence that was found on her waistband and in her underwear.
Speaking of that, didn't I just see not long ago that they released a statement saying that they were retesting that?
So I think I got to look into it more while I'm doing part two, but I think I know I saw several articles with John Ramsey talking about he's trying to get them to retest that with all the advances
Well,
in DNA, and
I
there's like
thought I
pushback,
saw,
like
okay, maybe that's what I saw. I thought I saw somebody saying that they are retesting it, but it could be another 6 months before anything
right.
is.
Like I said, I'll have to look more into the specific
Okay,
details, but I'll let y'all know in
sorry,
part two.
continue. Continue.
But yeah, so there's unknown male DNA. Eventually, the Ramseys were cleared by like DNA evidence because they did not match this. And they ended up going to Georgia to get away from, the house and everything going on. They then hired a team of lawyers and a PR firm. Like, I understand hiring the lawyers, but the PR firm's kind of weird to me, but okay.
Why, I was going to say, why the PR firm?
Yeah. So the city of Boulder is freaking out, especially the neighborhood that the Ramseys lived in, because police have no idea who broke into this home and murdered this child, right?
Right.
So Boulder Police Chief Tom Coby made a statement and told everyone that at this point there was no threat to the public and that this is an isolated incident. How do you know that, sir? Like, what has led you to believe this?
But you
Do you?
don't know because you don't know anything about the case because you guys
Right.
continue to ruin all the evidence. So how do you
Exactly.
know? How do you know this isn't going to be an attack on another person that had a bunch of money? How do you know this was an attack at all? Like, you don't know nothing right now,
You
sir.
know nothing, sir. So why? What?
Well, I mean, I will say protocol is to try to not make the public panic. So I know what he
Well,
was doing, but still.
exactly. But still, and also, people were like, okay, but like, how do you know this? Like,
Agreed, but
you
I mean,
don't have a suspect yet.
to be fair, they are doing protocol. I mean, if you have the public panicking, then you're never gonna get any answers
Oh, yeah, for sure.
because you're gonna have nonstop phone calls, you're gonna have nonstop tips that aren't tips, you're gonna have nonstop, like, you're gonna
Right.
be literally using all your resources for nothing that is gonna be helpful.
Right.
So I get it, but at the same time, I'm just like, you can't. I hate when you release a statement to the public and you don't have answers because you know people are going to be asking that question. How do you know? And
Right.
how
And
do
which
you answer that?
I do understand if you do have some answers and not disclosing that because you don't want it to tip off somebody, but
Right.
we all know that they didn't have any answers
You
at
had
this
zero,
point.
bruh. Zero.
Zero.
Zero, because you guys have literally damaged all of your evidence.
Right. It's all damaged. So this is where I'm gonna wrap up part one.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about like some more evidence, suspects, and theories in part two. So that is that on that. That is part one of the JonBenet unsolved murder.
Until next week,
I
or week after, I
was like,
guess.
whoa, calm down.
Whoa, whoa,
Slow your roll, girl. So yeah, that's it on that. Follow us on all the stuff.
yeah, follow us.
SerialHolicSisters.com.
You'll wanna tune in for the next
You'll
episode
want
for
to tune
sure.
in. Follow us on the Facey Space, the Instagram.
Yeah.
I guess don't write a review because people are mean.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, I don't take it to heart. I know I'm the mean one. I'm the mean one, and I don't even know how I was mean. You guys don't hear me be mean. You guys
If
don't
you,
even hear my mean side.
that's so funny. If you actually do enjoy us, though, it'd be cool if you wrote us a nice review because our feelings keep getting
Also,
hurt.
I don't understand why it was mentioned that you talk more than me, because I don't. You don't. I talk more than anybody.
I'm guessing whoever wrote that listened to an episode that was my case or something.
Oh yeah,
That is my
probably.
thought on that.
It's honestly, it is what it is. And
Yeah.
anytime I mean, it's always towards the murderer, so
Right?
rude,
We're
but
supposed to be
okay.
mean to them.
I mean, clearly you like to be on the murderer side, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. I'm
Maybe
kidding,
that's why
but
you're mean. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm mean to serial killers. My bad. Excuse me.
I'm so sorry, air quote.
No, I don't take it to heart. Crystal takes it more to heart than I do, but
Oh yeah, I'm very I get my feelings hurt real easily. I'm Charmin soft.
I'm not. That's why I'm the mean one. I'm
She's like, I don't even give a
the
fuck. But anyways,
bitch. It's
if
cool.
you
It's
like us and
cool.
you're nice, feel free to write a nice review. But if you don't like us, then shut your fucking mouth. We don't care.
Oh. I'm just kidding.
Oh, any Hoosier. Okay. We should...
Well, yeah, let's be awkward.
that I
That was
think I took
already
care of that.
awkward. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Who do you?
My dog.
Oh, okay. I thought it was one of your kids. You're like shaking your head no, like they're gonna walk away.
No, I was waiting to see if he was gonna go downstairs. He's going downstairs. Sorry. I seen him at the he cracked the door open just a little bit, and I was like, no.
The Ramseys became pretty well known for the extravagant parties they would throw. And was that a cat or a Harlow?
Harlow.
Right. I will say the enhanced version. Oh, bless you.
So sorry. I was gonna say it just said my internet connection is unstable, and I was about to say, you know, really pisses me off getting new internet and it telling me my
Oh my
internet
God.
connection is unstable. Go
So,
on. Can't hear you.
can you hear me now?
No, you're very, very blocked, like you're in and out.
Okay, cool. Tell me when it's better.
Sorry, Miss Goosey.
My God.
Sorry, Miss Goosey. Goosey, Miss Goosey. Hang on. I'm hoping this might help moving away from that area because it's technically closer to the box downstairs.
Okay.
I don't know. I had too much coffee. I'll be
Okay.
right back. I just spilled coffee everywhere.
My God. Good job.
Literally everywhere. I got fucking coffee literally everywhere. I guess I'm just gonna hold my microphone. I don't have anywhere to set up right now. It's fine.
Okay.
Just gonna.
Well, don't move it around a lot because then that's going to make a lot of noise. Yeah, that. I swear to
Hello.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, Chrissy. Can she hear me?
I can hear you. I'm saying hello.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you, but I have
That's okay.
You're gonna have so much editing to do.